It's Saturday morning and time for the Coach's Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coach's Show. Week 3 of the high school football season in the books. Here are your final scores. Capital City at Columbia Hickman last night, and they beat the Cupies by a score of 59-16. At Atkins Stadium last night, it was Columbia Rockbridge over Jefferson City 35-27. Down at the Lake, Blair Oaks opened up Tri-County Conference play with a victory over School of the Osage. The final there 56-14. At home, Russellville lost last night to Diamond 45-15. And also in Columbia last night, the Helias Crusaders beat Columbia Battle by a score of 41-0. And joining us now is Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you, Kevin.
All the way around, you take a look at the final from the game last night, and you got it done in all three phases, didn't you?
Yeah, we really did. I thought, you know, we played well. For the majority of the game, I thought we were very sharp, in all three phases. We had some, big game-changing plays on special teams. Defense just played outstanding, particularly our secondary. And they threw a lot of deep balls last night, and, you know, our corners and our safeties did a great job.
You know, four interceptions, I think, in the ball game for you, and you held in check that Alex Fernandez to DeQual Wright.
Yes. I said, we just had a great week of practice, and, Alex Marbury had two interceptions, and C.J. Howe played well and had an interception, and late in the game or early in the fourth quarter, Austin Weaver had the fourth interception, and, they drove the ball a little bit. They had some success on the ground in the second half, but, the defense bowed up inside the red zone and didn't let them in. And just very, very proud of the defensive effort. But really special teams too. I mean, Alex Marbury had a really, really fantastic night. That punt return touchdown was something very special, individual effort. Because we actually had a punt block on. We didn't really even set up a blocking wall or return for him. It was just an amazing effort on his part.
Boy, he had a touchdown run, an interception, and a punt return for a touchdown. Alex Marbury had a tremendous game for you last night, didn't he?
He did. Just a junior, and, we saw flashes of his ability last year as a sophomore. We knew he was going to play a bigger role on our football team, and, he returns punt for us. He returns kicks for us. He has a very important role both offensively and defensively, and he's a tough kid. He's not very big, but he's extremely tough, and he's the fastest kid on our team, and he's just a great football player, and that's probably all, and a great kid, which is what I really, that's what really stands out when you think about Alex Marbury. But he had a fine night last night.
You go back to the game last year at Ray Hinches Stadium, and you're trailing at halftime, had a huge second half against Columbia Battle, and then you turn around and shut them out this year.
Yeah, I thought we came out much sharper, than we did last year against them. Of course, that was a different battle team last year with a different coach, and they had a very experienced quarterback and running back, and this year we were able to shut down the run in the first half, and we forced them to throw the ball. We put them in situations where we could put some pressure on the quarterback, and our defensive front four played really well too, and they made their quarterback uncomfortable. He didn't have the time he wanted to. We contained his scrambling ability, and again, they threw a lot of deep balls, our corners were challenged, and they rose to the challenge and played extremely well.
Against Hannibal, against Columbia Hickman, and against Columbia Battle, you opened the season 3-0, and it's been a continuing theme that your defense has played very well in all three games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's, kind of the cornerstone of what we want to do is play great defense. We put a lot of emphasis on it. Coach Pitts and his staff do a great job. We take a lot of pride in playing good defense, in a day and age where sometimes that's not done very well by some high school teams. We really want to play well, and it sets the offense up, it sets that tone. The tough, physical, aggressive defense was certainly on display last night.
You start the season with two wins at home to Columbia last night for the first road game of the season. We talked about this last week. It was going to be a test for your ball club at Columbia Battle. And you come out and score on the first drive. That's key, especially when you're talking about your first road game.
Yeah. Our first offensive drive was really beautiful. I mean, we had a great mix of plays. Coach Rockers did a great job. He and I always sit down starting on Thursday and Friday. We kind of talk about our first 10 plays and what we're going to do. based on the looks. And, you know, we try to get a great mixture of things and keep the tempo going. And, you know, Sam Wyrick had another good night. And again, a great first drive, which ended up in the end zone. Defense got us the ball right back. And, you know, then we came out with a little play action. And just kind of like we did against Hannibal, Lucas Bloomer gets open on that backside post, and Sam throws it, and you know, great 60-plus yard touchdown pass. And then we had a punt return by Marbury, and another long run by Mason French, and you know, we were able to score 5 touchdowns in the first half. You know, 4 offensively, 1 with special teams, and we go into the halftime 34-0, and you know, we feel good about the first half and how we played in all 3 phases. I mean, if there was a little criticism last night, I thought we came out a little bit sluggish in the third quarter. You know, they were able to have some long clock-eating drives, but we, you know, again, we bowed up inside the red zone, didn't let them in. Offense sputtered a bit in the second half. I just never really kind of got that rhythm, and then eventually, early in the fourth quarter, it was really kind of an odd play, but you know, we thought we had the quarterback sacked. Sam Lopez comes in off of just kind of a stud or scrape, and the kid was going down, and his left hand kind of braced himself, and when he was about 6 inches from the ground, he tossed it to his receiver, and Austin Weaver just steps right in front of it, catches it, and goes 95 yards for it. That's an interception return. It was really there were some odd plays last night. You know, that was our only score in the second half, and that was a great reactive play by Austin, and taking it 95 yards for a touchdown. You know, again, defense really shined last night, but I thought there were bright spots all over the place, and you know, just happy to go on the road, first conference win. Very proud of the effort, all the coaches and players, and it was a good evening. Good evening for the Crusaders.
And you talk about the Austin Weaver play. It's a situation where everybody on offense is going one way, and he ends up picking it, and he's going the other way, and there's no way anybody's going to catch him.
No. He was way out in front, and I think a lot of the people maybe assumed that he was down or he stepped out of bounds, but the officials didn't see it that way, and you know, it was just a great athletic play, tightrope down the sidelines, and put it in the end zone, and then we had the running clock, and you know, they came out for another kind of long, time-consuming drive. The clock was churning, and you know, we only had one more opportunity offensively, and you know, we punted away, and they, you know, they had 3 or 4 plays, and the game was over. So that fourth quarter went pretty quick.
Let's go back to that touchdown pass that you talked about earlier, Sam Wyrick to Lucas Bloomer. That's been a good combination early in the season for you. And how many times has he been wide open already this year?
Well, quite a bit. Lucas is a great route runner. But, you know, that's really on that particular play, and really so also with the Hannibal game, that's the fourth option on that play. And so, you know, really credit Sam's ability to go through the progressions. You know, look at his first read, it's not open. Second read, it's not open. Third read. And then to get all the way back to the fourth read is really something for a high school quarterback. A lot of times high school quarterbacks, if the first guy's not open, they panic and scramble. But he was able to step up in the pocket and deliver a beautiful football.
I saw some tape of that particular touchdown pass last night, but watching Sam Wyrick early in the season, he has a comfort level with rolling out a little bit out of the pocket, doesn't he?
He does. He does. And keeps his eyes downfield. And, you know, he offensively, with the offense we run, as in most high schools, you know, and college and really all level, the offense goes as the quarterback goes. And, you know, if the quarterback is playing well, the offense is going to click. And, you know, our early successes offensively really are a credit to everyone. But, man, that quarterback is really important and playing well. I think he's got 10 touchdowns on the season already and no interceptions, and a completion rate that was, you know, near 75%, and that's outstanding.
One other point with regards to the game last night, the Mason French long touchdown run. He goes off the left side of your offensive line, and what a cutback as the defender was flowing out toward French's left, and he cut back against the grain, and, I mean, he left the guy in the dirt.
Yeah, that was a little speed option left. We had talked about a different blocking scheme this week for that particular play. They were kind of switching up their looks. Our offensive line did a great job of getting out but there was so much flow going to the left. As you said, Mason was able to see that and then just, you know, put his left foot in the ground and cut back to the right, and then he accelerated from there. And, you know, that was a great – I mean, that was our biggest run play of the night, and that came at a really good time.
Big game on Friday night. You'll head to St. Louis to take on the Class 3 defending state champion Cardinal Ritter. They're ranked first in the state in Class 5. Last night they were supposed to play Duchenne. It ended up being a 13-0 forfeit. That's two games in a row now for Cardinal Ritter as far as forfeits are concerned. The week before, it was a 13-0 win for them on a forfeit against Vashon. My understanding in taking a look at the website last night of the Post-Dispatch, they're going to play this afternoon against a ball club. Let me grab that information real quick. They are scheduled to play University Academy at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Is that what you're hearing?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. They're going to play University Academy out of Kansas. You know, we're going to send some coaches up there just to get eyes on it. You know, that is a game that we will exchange. But there's something about seeing the team in person, too, that I think kind of gives you a little bit more insight than just watching the game tape. But I will just tell you from the standpoint of the coaches and the players, we're really excited about next week. You know, I know a couple of teams have forfeited to them because they don't want to play them, you know, with 11 or 12 Division I commits and prospects. They are probably the most talented team in the state. They're number one in the state for power rankings. We are looking forward to the challenge. You know, we're not going to back down from any competition, no matter what it is. And, you know, we're going to go up there and give it everything we've got. And again, we're looking forward to this. I mean, I think in life, when you get a chance to play the best, or what people say, or you know, the sports writers and people who rank these things are saying, this is the most talented team in the state. And you get a chance to do that and go into their home place. You know, those are where memories are made, and we're looking forward to making some good memories next week and just, you know, stepping on the field with such a talented team and giving everything we got. And, you know, let's roll the dice and let's see what happens.
You know, looking at it from their standpoint, they really need to get a game in, because two forfeits in a row this early in the season, they needed to play a game, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, that's unfortunate that that's happening to them. You know, I don't want to second guess anyone's decision or a school backing out on games like that. I don't agree with that, but, you know, each school probably has their reasons for why they do that. But, you know, we're certainly excited about playing such a talented team. You know, and we played them last year. We played them in the past. We beat them back in our state championship year of 2020. And so we know what we're up against. You know, a very talented, fast, you know, extremely athletic team. We think we've got a good game plan that you know, we can go up there and slay the giant, which is certainly first and foremost, and that's our goal this week, and that's what we're going to be focused on. Go up there, no fear, and you know, we're going to play our hearts out.
Congratulations on the win last night. Good luck Friday night up in St. Louis, Coach. Appreciate your time this morning.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Elias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinch is quickly going back to Cardinal Ritter. As we mentioned, the defending state champions in Class 3, they went 14-0 last year, have two very good quarterbacks in Carson Boyd and Antoine McKay. Boyd completed 76% of his passes last year for 1,500 yards and 28 touchdowns. McKay, 58% as far as his completion is concerned, for 1,654 yards and 16 TDs. Cardinal Ritter, the next opponent for the Elias Crusaders in Week 4 of the high school football season. This morning, as far as the district is concerned, Elias is first in the district, 3.67 points ahead of second place Capital City and 7 points ahead of third place Camdenton. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
Aqua Adam here with Echo Water Systems, wanting to tell you about a great event coming up October 6th. Lighthouse Preparatory Academy is hosting an exciting fundraiser. Mike Matheny, Cardinals and Royals former manager, shares his testimony and passion for Christian schools. We're having great food and an over-the-top silent auction. Lighthouse strives to keep tuition affordable, and fundraisers help to make this happen. For ticket information, go to lpajc.com. That's lpajc.com, or call 573-645-5253. God bless.
Dad says if you're on time for the ball game, you're late. But Mom says with mobile banking from Jefferson's Bank, we'll always be the first ones on the field. She can do our banking right from the bleachers, which means she won't miss a single play.
At Jefferson Bank, save time with mobile banking and deposit your checks from anywhere. After all, time is the name of the game. When you're ready, there's more. Jefferson-Bank.com, a division of the Central Trust Bank, member FDIC, and MLS number 407985.
As a business owner, you're in charge of pretty much everything. It's a lot to ask. So when it comes to your marketing, why not hire Fuse 32? We're an all-in-house agency where our account strategists, designers, producers, writers, digital and social media teams work together to create killer multimedia ad campaigns. And when you need us, we're all in one place so you can focus on the crazy list of daily to-dos that are calling your name. Fuse 32. There's nothing we can't do. Fuse32.com.
If you suffer from restless leg syndrome, you might feel like your legs always need to move. Some people feel like there's a soda bubbling or just a creepy, crawly feeling in their legs. It's really very common. Around 10% of people in the U.S. suffer from it. Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Ryan with Missouri Vein Care. If your sleep is affected by constantly moving legs, there's a good chance you have restless leg syndrome. Vein treatments will help you sleep again and increase your energy. Schedule your free vein screening at MissouriVeinCare.com and get back to normal.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Jefferson City Jays head football coach Damon Wells. Last night at Atkins Stadium, it was Columbia Rockbridge over Jefferson City 35-27. Coach, a heck of a football game. You had me on the edge of my chair all night.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I think, you know, going in, we just want to compete. We want our boys to learn to compete. And I thought they did just that. And lo and behold, we had a pass into the end zone to win it at the end of the game. So, you know, we'll take that, but would love to change the result just a little bit.
Let's spend a moment, talk about the team's effort and the fact that, you know, people that went to the game last night, they're going to come back and see the Jays play.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I heard quite a few stories about the crowd and the atmosphere. It was pretty special, and we're blessed to be a part of that.
I want to talk about your offense. First of all, I thought it played very well. I was impressed with how quickly your guards and tackles pulled and got to the edge and provided blocking. They were quick off the ball last night.
Yeah, and I tell you, without getting into too much detail, those are some pretty young kids that are up there now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we'll be better for it in the long run with all the experience they're gaining.
The option pitch, I thought Wilson did a very nice job running the controls last night on offense for you at quarterback, but those quick pitches and getting out to the edge, you really stretched out Columbia Rockbridge's defense last night, didn't you?
Well, we were able to do a few things, but, you know, the best laid plans go to waste if high school boys aren't willing and able to execute it. And we're, like I mentioned, we're just blessed to have the boys that we have that they were able to get that done.
You know, they get on the board first, 9:15 left to go in the opening quarter, and they're up by a score of 7-0. Second offensive possession of the night for you, and you've got the ball at your 20, and a pick six. Cullen Snow jumps the route, returns it for a touchdown. You're down 14-0, 7:56 left to go in the first quarter, and first thing you're thinking is, uh-oh, right?
That's right, yeah. It's definitely not the way we drew up the beginning of the game. But, again, I go back to how blessed and grateful we are to have the kids we have, because they never batted an eye, and they stayed competitive and fought until the very end.
1:52 left to go in the opening quarter. You get on the board, completing a 49-yard drive in 7 plays. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we were able to take advantage of some opportunities. You know, great feedback from our kids. And we were happy to get on the board there.
Rockbridge led 21-7 at the half. Back-to-back possessions to start the second half for you in the third quarter results in touchdowns. Wilson to Barnes on a 14-yard touchdown pass, 7:41 left to go in the third. That was a 5-play drive. You got to within a touchdown. You came right back in a drive that started at your 42. You marched down the field. That was a great drive, too, as 11 plays got on the board. About a half a minute left to go in the third quarter, and it's 21-20. You're right there again, aren't you?
We were, yeah, an extra point away from being tied deep into the third quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter. And, you know, that's what we want. We want to give our boys a chance to compete and a chance to win the thing, and that's exactly what we had.
you know, we talk about momentum shifts in a football game. And, of course, you got it there with those two touchdowns in the third quarter to get within one. And they flipped the momentum chart on the very next play. Dre Seaman with a 92-yard kickoff return for the touchdown. They go up 28-20.
Yep, that one hurt. That was a big moment in the game. And, you know, but that's the way the game works. That you have to be great in all three phases, especially if you're going to pull off those big, important, close games like we were trying to do last night.
You know, they got blocking at the point of attack, and then he cut to the near sideline right in front of your bench and went down the sideline. And it looked like there was an opportunity maybe for a player or two to get that angle, and he just had great speed and just took off.
He sure did. That's right.
All right, 28-20 after three, and again, you get back into the ballgame. They go up 35-20 with about 8:39 left to go in the contest. Again, you're down by 15, and it's kind of that uh-oh moment again, but right back comes Jefferson City, an 80-yard drive, 6:44 left to go in the ballgame, and Kentrell Jordan gets his second touchdown run of the night, 16 yards out, and the drive, you needed to get a quick one, and you did. It took only 1 minute and 53 seconds off the clock, and you get to within 8 at 35-27. That was a huge drive for you.
It sure was, and there we were. One possession game, you know, late in the fourth quarter. We'll take it. We'll take it every single time. We needed a big stop, and we got that big stop.
And you get the ball one more time at the 9-yard line. You march down the field all the way to the Rockbridge 36. A throw into the end zone, knocked down with 34 seconds left to go, and Rockbridge leaves Atkins Stadium last night with an 8-point victory. But I tell you what, that last drive, you kept it moving, and I mean, you're starting from the 9. There's not much time left to go, and you continually moved down and gave yourself a chance. That's what you need to get, is give yourself a chance, and you did.
Exactly. We were able to throw the football into the end zone twice there at the end of the game. You know, definitely situations that we practiced, and again, incredibly proud of the fight and our boys. We definitely wanted to win that one. That you know, that was that's a quality opponent there,
mm-hmm.
that we had to face. But the way we're choosing to look at this is, what a great experience for whenever we finally get around to district play.
You know, that play that we talked about on the pass into the end zone, Jacob Wilson did an awful nice job of rolling out to extend the play, and then he saw a player open in the, for a second there, open in the end zone. It was double-team coverage by Columbia Rockbridge, and he stopped, planted to make sure he could throw that ball as good as he could, and it was right there, and just a good play by Rockbridge to knock the ball down in the end zone.
No doubt. I thought our pass protection was pretty solid on the night as well.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an opportunity to spin it around a little bit.
Spend a moment and talk about the defense. I thought they were physical. I thought they played well, especially your linebackers last night.
They did. Yeah, there's no doubt about it that with a quality opponent such as that, that, you know, you definitely have your hands full, and you're going to have to defend all different parts of the game. And our kids did that. When you look at the score, it's a little bit misleading because we did have the pick six and the kick return for a touchdown. So, you know, giving up 21 points to a team that scored 66 the week prior, you know, I can live with that.
Next Friday night, headed to Sedalia to take on the Smith Cotton Tigers. Tell me about them.
I think they're very well coached. We played them in the Jamboree, and I think the world of what their staff is doing up there. Some talented young men and great facility. So, as always, being the smallest public school in the CMAC, we're going to have our hands full in the conference game.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning, and good luck on Friday night. Trip to Sedalia to take on the Smith Cotton Tigers in CMAC play.
Hey, thanks so much. Go Jays.
Jefferson City Jays head football coach Damon Wells, again, taking a look at the districts this morning. In Jefferson City's district, they are fourth in the district behind Van Horn, Pleasant Hill, and Warrensburg. Van Horn and Pleasant Hill won again yesterday. They are 3-0 on the season. Warrensburg picking up a victory over Sedalia Smith Cotton last night, 47-22, to move to 2-1 on the season. As we mentioned, the Jays back in action Friday night, a trip to Sedalia to take on the Smith Cotton Tigers. Hey, how about this series? Series started back in 1908 between Jefferson City and Sedalia Smith Cotton. They have played 77 times. The Jays lead the series with 46 wins, And get this, they are 25-0-1 against Sedalia Smith-Cotton since 1958. As far as the length of the series is concerned, the 77 games against Sedalia Smith-Cotton is second only to the Jays-Columbia-Hickman rivalry, which takes place again in a couple of weeks as the Jays will take on Columbia-Hickman, and they'll meet for the 120th time. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Casper 66 in Lynn is excited because it's finally football season. Maybe you are too. If there are tailgates in your future, a stop at Casper's is a good idea. Food and snacks, cold beer and sodas. If it's a road game, make sure you stop by to gas up first. Casper 66 is a proud supporter of Lynn High School football. And all season long, you can pick up your free passes for the Zimmer Tiger tailgate parties at Mizzou games. Casper 66 in Lynn, your locally owned convenience store. Get your fix at Casper 66.
Steve's Pest Control Brown Recluse movie trailer, review number one. Bring in the Brown Recluse.
They creep, they crawl, they hide, lying in wait for their next meal.
Actually, we hunt at night. I'm getting my steps in here, bud.
A spider so terrifying, the Brown Recluse.
Actually, recluse is kind of a word that's a bit judgy, you know? I mean, would you come out of your house if everyone else was 800 times your size? I don't think so.
They can survive 10 months with no food or water.
Technically, but I'm telling you, month two, month three, I start to get very, very thirsty.
Coming to theaters this fall, Recluse on the Loose. Rated R for Recluse.
That's the joke, really? Seriously?
Liam Neeson stars in his defining role as Steve from Steve's Pest Control.
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control, and I have a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. I'm a nightmare for spiders like you. I will find you, and I will eliminate you. I guarantee it. Steve's Pest
Control. The work they do, I know, has always been top-notch.
Kent for Capital Diesel.
I was very impressed with the communications that they have with customers, which is a little bit of a unique situation. Now, I work in Afghanistan, so I dealt with them completely over the internet and by phone. Any of my friends that have asked me about diesel work, I always tell them Capital Diesel is definitely the place that they should definitely take into consideration because their quality is, I think, unsurpassed by anyone.
When you need to be sure, Capital Diesel.
This is Phil Freeman
and Ryan Freeman from Freeman Mortuary.
We are so proud of the service our team provides to our families.
And we are also proud to share what some families have shared with us.
Kathy tells us, we highly recommend Freeman Mortuary. Our family cannot be more thankful or pleased with the service and responsiveness provided. Their compassion and attention to detail is amazing. Freeman goes above and beyond.
For three generations, creating meaningful ceremonies as unique as your loved one since 1961. FreemanMortuary.com.
There is a lot to love about fall. The change of the air, the colors of the leaves, the lack of bugs. But fall is also extremely busy. Kids are back to school, vacations are over, and countless activities now plague your schedule. That free time isn't exactly free anymore. So the last thing you need is that vehicle of yours breaking down. Let Hickman's Automotive make sure it's ready for you when you need it. Honest checkups and suggestions you need at prices you can really afford. Sharing pride in your ride. It's HickmansAutomotive.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Last night they opened up Tri-County Conference play down at the lake with a victory over School of the Osage, 56-14. Congratulations, coach.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Let me ask you this question. There's been so much success in the football program at Blair Oaks. Lost a tough one last Friday night to Luther North, 38-30. Is it more difficult to close the door and move ahead to the next game for you?
You know, it isn't for a coach, but I think sometimes the players, you know, there's that the feeling, especially when you go undefeated the year before, there's that feeling of, oh man, we're not going to be undefeated, and oh, our season's upset, our season's over, and you forget this is a long doggone season. You know, I heard Coach Reed after the game the other night say, you know, this is one game. Mm-hmm. One game does not make a complete. You know, a season. It is only one game. You have to take it and move on. And I think our players did. I noticed in the first quarter, I thought we were a little flat. Second quarter, we got better. And then the third quarter, we looked like we beat the rule down. So I think it took our players a little bit to get going. You know, that's something we need to look at and talk to them about. But at the same standpoint, yeah, there was a little bit of that hangover. I think they were still seeing, oh, man, we lost. And, you know, that can't eke back in your mind. You've got to just move on.
Never trailed in the football game last night. It was close the first half, wasn't it?
Well, the first half was, like I said, was really different. We really did a good job on our first series. They won it. We deferred, and they received three and out. We took the ball, drove right down, scored 7-0, and then we had another three and out, and they punted, and we fumbled the ball on the punt, and then that really set them up in a good situation to go in and score, make it 7-7. And we drove back down, scored, made it 14-7. Then we went up 20-7. And then they made a little fourth down play, threw a ball up, a little 50-50 ball. The receiver made a heck of a play and scored on it. I thought they did a really good job with their scheme up front of how to try to disguise some things to us. Guys a little confused in the first half. Went in at halftime, made some adjustments. In the second half, there was really nothing left. There was a really dominating second half by our football team.
I think 36 unanswered points in the ball game for you.
It was. We went right before half. I really like to have the ball right before halftime, especially when we're receiving, because that could be a 14-point swing for you. We went out and moved the ball downfield, made an ill-advised call probably on third and four from the four-yard line, and we got sacked. Called timeout. We had about 11 seconds left. Heck of a play by Tyler Bax. Heck of a play by Hayden Lackman. A little nice, a little over route in the end zone. And he squeezed it in a tight window. Hayden took a big hit, held on the ball, was able to give us. And then Brady Kirpin went in and made a two-point play, made it 28-14, right with 8 seconds to go in the half. So then we turn around, get the ball right, start second half, go down five plays and score. So it went from a 20-14 game to all of a sudden a 35-14 game within about, in playing time situations, about a minute and a half. So that was a huge turning point. I think that took a lot of life out of them. Then we scored two more quick touchdowns right there, right after that. So, anytime we can do the lightning strike offense, it begins to take the life out of them. We let them have too much life in the first half, though.
I think four straight possessions and touchdowns for you in the second half of the ball game last night.
Yeah, the second half, again, I've got to find out in the first half. First half, we had a couple drops. We threw the ball a little high a couple times, but the second half, we threw and caught the ball really well. We were able to mix in the run. We really were trying to deviate last night between run and pass, keep them off balance, keep them out of a situation where they could send people with as many guys as they had that could come from different angles. Really kept them offline, and I thought in the second half we threw and caught the ball very well, but our running game really took off last night. Really excited about the way we ran football.
Eli Luckett, tell me about his night last night.
Well, we've been working with Eli and getting him comfortable. Again, he was a young man that moved into our program last year, tore his ACL and the jamboree, so didn't get to play football for a year. Really hasn't played varsity football for us. This is his third game. He's a really great talent. He's got a lot of shiftiness, and he runs with power behind his pads. And I think he's starting to feel his way into the game, and that's been really, really huge for us. So we put a couple plays in where we just give him the ball and let him run. And that last night, it was able to, I think, ignite him a little bit. He didn't have to worry about what I'm going here, where I'm going there. Just take the ball and run as hard as you can. And we saw that vision. He bounced one on a 15-yard touchdown run. It was the middle of the game, or middle of the line play. But he saw a vision point bounce. It got to the edge, and nobody could catch him. It's really exciting to watch. So I look for really bigger and better things out of him as he continues to get more comfortable in our system.
All right, tell me about your sophomore quarterback, Tyler Bax, last night.
Tyler is really doing a great job of going to second and third reads. Last year, Dylan, as talented as Dylan was, Dylan would look. If the guy was open, he threw it. If not, Dylan made things happen. Tyler's a little bit more patient and poised with his progression. He wants to throw the ball now. He's an effective runner. He's not going to be Dylan Hare. I'm not going to say that. But he's really effective with his running, so you have to respect it. But his laser point throws, he hit a young man last night running and hit him in a face mask, and it was about a 35-yard ball. He can really pinpoint his passes, and he's getting more and more comfortable. And I believe last night he had 5 touchdown passes on 11 completions. So when he gets the ball, he can put it into some pretty tight windows, and he's getting real comfortable with his reads. Last night he came over and he said, all right, I went one, I went two, but three was the guy. And I'm like, that's right. He's he's a lot of fun to talk to on the sidelines because he's very cognitive about the game and studies the game.
You know, we've done this quite a bit with you over the years as far as the Coaches Show is concerned and talking about football terminology and helping people understand a little bit more about the game. I want to talk about in a passing situation. So many times you'll hear coaches and you'll hear announcers say he went through his progression. Tell me about what that is.
Well, what you look for in a passing game is very similar to a rushing game. You've got to have a sequence that goes in. And so what we do is you usually set up a sequence where you have a first-level route, a second-level route, and a third-level route. The third-level route is what everybody wants to see is the home run ball. So you usually base all your progression from long to short. So you're going to take your first read is going to be the home run shot over the top. And in our first series, we had a progression, and his first progression was a post route to Nick, and Nick got inside the safety. Well, that's one of our reads. If he drops back and he sees that on his first initial, he lets it go. He lets it go, and that was about a 35-yard touchdown pass. Really nice job. Behind it, you've got a second-level route that's intermediate in length. We call that about an 8 to 12-yard zone. So he goes deep. If the deep is closed, he goes into an intermediate progression. And then we usually set it up with a shallow zone, which is 2 to 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. So he just goes 1, 2, 3 down his progression. He looks at it. We try to use motion to set up those progressions to make him know exactly who he's reading. As he gets bigger and bigger into the season, especially last night, we weren't having the motion. He's picking up the progression without the motion because he's being able to see the coverage before the snap. And that's what one thing he didn't do the first 2 weeks. He did not see the coverage before the snap. Last night he did. He was coming off and saying, all right, here's where they're setting, here's where we need, you know, here's what I'm seeing. We'd look at it on film, say exactly right. So that is when you talk about progression. It's usually you go from top to bottom, which is meaning deep, intermediate to the shallow zones.
And you played quarterback, and I think fans can appreciate the fact that you have to make decisions very, very quick in that progression, don't you?
It is, and with our progression, what we did with Dylan, and we went and studied, and we got some stuff where they can make a one progression read, and there's also a quarterback draw involved in it, and we shoot that into our quick game. And last night, Tyler did that. It's one where if they drop. We have actually an ISO. What that means is a back leading up into the hole. And he did that 2 or 3 times where it was a 6 to 10 yard gain. But when you're giving the element of being able to throw the ball, also being able to what they call now, it's a catchphrase, but RPO, run pass option. He drops back. He's got the option to throw it or he has the option to run it. And that decision has to be made very, very quickly. So what we do there is we count numbers. If they have certain numbers, then we just say, all right, look, run. If they don't have the numbers, look, throw. And it is such a processing information in your cognitive system. And a lot of players are really good at throwing the football, and a lot of guys are good at playing, you know, quarterback and standing back there. But that thought process and that progression has to happen within a split second. And that's what makes players at that position different. If you look on Saturdays and Sundays, those are the guys you can see, the top-level guys, they process so fast. They can see it, and I've been told, you see things in black and white or you see things in color, and the guys that can do that see things in color that other people are seeing in black and white.
One other quick phrase, check down. Tell me about it.
Check down is what you're looking at. You're looking really quickly, and you're going through your progression, which 1, 2, 3, we always have a hot read into our system. And what that means is we have one of our receivers, we have 5 eligible receivers. One of the receivers is running what we call an immediate route. So if they're bringing 6 and we can only block in 5, that means they have 5 receivers, they have 5 DBs. One of our guys is running a check down route, meaning he's running something that the quarterback right now, if he's in trouble, he knows where he's at. It's going to be a short, quick throw, but it's something that is replacing a position that they have. So if they're bringing 6, they're bringing a guy who is coming from a position that hasn't been into the progression of the blitz. So as they come into progression of the blitz, we're going to replace that guy, and there's always a check down for the quarterback. hard to process that. Really, really got to be really quick. Mm-hmm. But Tyler did a good job of that one time last night and just threw it to the check down right now. Again, last week against Luther North on our last play, he goes, the check down was there when it came off. And I go, yes, it was. Hey, we threw it for a 9.5-yard gain, but his check down was wide open and nobody covered him. But it was his recognition of it that got me excited after that game. I hated to lose, but I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a 15-year-old young man who just came out and said his check down was open. But after we just threw a 9.5-yard completion, knowing that that might have went for more.
Week four of the high school football season, back to the Falcon Athletic Complex. We have the broadcast right here on KWOS as the Falcons meet the California Pintos. Good rivalry, Coach.
Oh, man, this is the funnest week of the year for us. And this added, it got a little added beef for us. So I think this is a night, this is a morning that the players will come in, we'll watch film, but we are going to get right on California immediately. This is a game that means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to the Blair Oaks community, because for so many years, California just drummed the Falcons, and we want to make sure that this is a game that we point to every year, and this is a game that we want to really go out and play our best football.
Coach, look forward to it. We'll see you on Friday night. Congratulations on the win last night.
Thank you, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage again. They'll host the California Pintos on the air with our pregame show. Tom Kramer and I will have the broadcast 6:30 with the pregame show, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play. Pintos are 2-1 on the season, lost in overtime to Southern Boone last night by a score of 27-20. Falcons have 9 straight wins over the California Pintos. And this morning, as far as the district is concerned, Blair Oaks Falcons find themselves 3rd in the district behind undefeated Moberly and Centralia. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
As a business owner, you're in charge of pretty much everything. It's a lot to ask. So when it comes to your marketing, why not hire Fuse 32? We're an all-in-house agency where our account strategists, designers, producers, writers, digital and social media teams work together to create killer multimedia ad campaigns. And when you need us, we're all in one place, so you can focus on the crazy list of daily to-dos that are calling your name. Fuse 32. There's nothing we can't do. Fuse32.com.
One of the best parts of summer has always been family vacations, and the best family vacations are all full of shiny moments, from catching the sun reflecting off the lake to the glimmer of snow on the mountains, and of course the sparkle of the sand during those long walks on the beach. Those shiny moments are some of the best things about warmer weather. The shiny moments you don't want to see are those when your car loses its luster after an accident, turning those dreams of family vacations into nightmares. No matter the damage to your vehicle, the Extreme Team makes dealing with insurance as stress-free as possible and gets your car looking shiny and new every time. For 20 years at Extreme Body and Paint, they've helped their customers get back on the road to enjoy all the best parts of summer. Nobody makes your vehicle shine like new better than Extreme Body and Paint. Just off Highway 50 at 1007 Lomo Drive or online at extremebodyandpaint.com.
We make it shine like new.
Every single project on your house, big or small, needs to be taken with extra care. You can't leave out any details. So to make sure you're not getting overwhelmed with home projects, call Don at Home Building Consultants. He's been in business for over 20 years. And with just a one-hour consultation, he'll give you 4 pages of ideas to make your project run smoothly, whether you're building the dream home or just adding on. Call Home Building Consultants at 573-225-4117. That's 573-225-4117.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Joe Collier. Last night at Columbia Hickman, Cavaliers moved to 3-0 on the season as they defeat the Cupies by a score 59-16. Congratulations on the win, Coach.
Oh, thank you.
First 2 weeks of the season, you come from behind. In fact, you score the game winner last week, less than 40 seconds to play in the ball game. No doubt last night, right?
Yes, no doubt last night. We started early.
Did you tell the players after the second game of the season they were stressing you out with the come from behinds?
No, we just have focus issues and paying attention to detail. And so we had drives like the ones we had last night, but they were always stopped because of different reasons and mostly fumbles.
Tell me about the job your quarterback Evan Schaefer did last night for you.
Just made sure he made the right decisions with the ball, he took care of it, gave our guys a chance to, get things done.
across the board. And it did help that he only had to hand it off four times, four touchdowns.
Yeah, we talked about the start of the season for Jalen Thomas for you in the backfield. But last night, I mean, Phillip Richardson scored the final two touchdowns in that come-from-behind victory over Columbia Battle at your new stadium last Friday night. And he scores the first touchdown in the ball game for you last night at Columbia Hickman, didn't he?
Yes, sir. I thought it was a matter of time before Phillip got going. You know, potentially that's him. So I think that he's off to a good start, and I think he'll continue that production for us.
And I'd add that he had a second touchdown in the ball game for you last night that gave you the lead 14-8. I think it was a long touchdown run of 41 yards in the ball game.
Right. And you know, we got two really good backs. Well, potentially four really good backs. And I thought that at the beginning of the season, and last night it showed. Those guys, as a group, they push each other and they encourage each other. So I'm looking for good production out of all those guys.
And that's a situation, too, where no defense can key on just one running back for the Cavaliers because you have a number of players who can contribute. And that's a key for you on offense, isn't it?
Yes, sir. We would really like to, you know, start getting the pass involved. And so I think that'll complete, us as a team. If we can get all those, if we can run all cylinders, that would, you know, getting that passing together would be great.
But you know what, Coach? You rushed for almost 400 yards last night, so you're getting it done on the ground.
Yes, sir, we are. But at some point, I feel like if we want to get to where we're going, you know, we're going to have to mix it up.
45.7 points per ball game in the first 3 weeks of the season, so it's been a great start for you.
Yes, sir, and, you know, last night made us as a team the most proud because we dialed in on something that we really wanted to work on, and we did it last night.
Two touchdowns for Phillip Richardson in the first quarter. I think Jalen Thomas had a touchdown. Nehemiah Hamilton had a touchdown. I think he had a 28-point first quarter. And again, for Jalen Thomas, this is only the third game of the season, and that touchdown he got in the first quarter was his eighth of the year already.
he's a good football player. He got a nose for that end zone. He finds it.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk about from last night's game is several long touchdown runs for you in the ball game. You scored from 67 yards out, 41, 78, 30, and 40. So you had long touchdown runs. You got people that were getting out to the edge. You were also blocking at the point of attack in the middle of the field. And again, showing the speed with all of those five touchdown runs of at least 30 yards or more. And the offensive line's doing the job too, aren't they?
Right, as a team. But we, you know, for us to fumble 15 times in two games and still scoring at a high clip is just, you know, not fumbling last night is really, I thought, with Cavalier football is that, you know, paying attention to detail, really physical at attack, you know, at a point of attack and have, you know, athletes across the board. And so potentially this is who we are when we dial in and focus in.
Last Friday night, we talked about this Saturday on the Coach's Show. You fumbled the ball nine times against Columbia Battle. Still won the ball game, but you fumbled the ball nine times in that ball game. And it's one thing, you know, you want to correct the mistakes and you want to talk about it, but you don't want to dwell on it because then you start thinking, well, I don't want to fumble. And then that takes away from your offense, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. And what we preached as a coach's staff is just, you know, when things are going bad, you just got to home in on your fundamentals, get back to the basics. And that's what the whole, you know, thought process was at practice. Just coming in on Monday, just making sure you clamp down, just making sure the handoffs are clean, just making sure our assignments are where they need to be on the line on all phases of the game, for that matter.
You had two running backs go over 100 yards in the ball game. How'd your defense play last night?
They've been pretty consistent. I know the score doesn't look like it, and for different reasons, you know, we've given up points, but it hasn't been on defense particularly. So they've been pretty steady. Those guys can play over there.
All right, next Friday night, back at home against Columbia Rockbridge. The Bruins won in overtime last year, 35-28. This ought to be a heck of a football game, Coach.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to the challenge. And so, I mean, you gotta play somebody. And I think our conference, we have some of the best football teams in the state. So we look forward to playing our guys.
And you remember from last year was an overtime win, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, at 35-28. It kept you from starting the season 4-0. I know you remember that.
Yes, sir. And and we're at the point that we were last year, and we're looking to get over there.
That Columbia Rockbridge team that comes in here on Friday night, two very good quarterbacks. We saw them last night in Sam Kaiser along with Brady Davidson, both with great size at 6'5", 6'6", and 191, and Davidson 220 as far as the weight is concerned for Sam Kaiser.
Pretty accurate. I think both of them are mobile. What sticks out to me more is just the athletes they have on the edges at the receiver, and their defense is really fast. So I'm interested in seeing how we match up, and when we get in open spaces, can we finish runs and things of that nature? We're looking to have the sustained drives, and this will be a good challenge for us to see if the mistakes that we learned from the past two games and grown from last night. See if we can sustain drives against Rockbridge. And when we get tackled down, can we refocus and get the playoff again?
What's the number one key that you took away from the game last night?
I think that I'm really happy for our young men. And when they work on something and they believe in it and they do it as a group, we can pretty much accomplish anything we set out to do. So, one of the things I'm just happy for the team that when we got focused and as a group wanted to do something, it got done.
Coach, congratulations on the win last night. Good luck on Friday night when you host Columbia Rockbridge in CMAC conference play.
Thank you.
Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Joe Collier. Week 4 of the high school football season will find us at the Falcon Athletic Complex. It's a Tri-County Conference game between the Blair Oaks Falcons and the California Pintos. Our pregame show starts at 6:30, and we'll see you next Saturday morning right here on The Coach's Show.